First of all, I would like to thank heartily Alea and the President Stock for giving me the opportunity to speak at this very important symposium, from which I hope that something new will come in the subject of all these problems. For myself, I wish to call your attention on the special role that the academies may play in the field that we are considering in this symposium, and with them the universities as research institutions. It seems to me that such role should concern the content, and I shall insist on the preservation of information with respect to the original documents from which the digital representation derives. So we should concern the content of the digital documents collected in the repositories, because the other aspects are mainly technical. It is also true that in this field it is always difficult to separate the techniques from the cultural and methodological aspects. On the other hand, the problems concerning the assembling or facilitating the access to them are extensively considered and cared for in a number of institutions, as we have learned also today, also at the official European level. The competence existing inside the academies may help, of course, but is not essential. On the contrary, the assessment of the quality of data is entirely in the frame of that competence, because it is more a scholarly problem than a technical one. In the short time allowed for this communication, I cannot develop motivated reasonings. I only wish to submit the main critical points arising from the subject of content quality, cursorily mentioning their importance in the hope that they may later form the subject of a wider investigation. It's better to formulate some preliminary assumption, simply because they make more explicit my point of view, not in order to propose them as exemplary, for instance. So, in my view, the digital form of preservation and dissemination of humanities data, not only textual, but archaeological, artistic, musical, and so on, will replace paper.
What is that?
So they will replace paper. This is often regretted, probably rightly regretted, but few deny it. In any case, it calls for our responsibility in avoiding any loss of information in the passage between the two things. Second, there is a substantial distinction of the so-called raster reproduction. I hope it is not too technical. In any case, the system equivalent to simply a digital photo, in relation with the encoding of a text, putting it through the keyboard. The use of OCR, optical character readers, is very dangerous for literary texts. The manual correction of misread letters is time-consuming, and in any case, the tags must be added. Other point, only encoded text, so not rasterized ones, allow for automatic analysis, which is very important in exploiting, of course, collections of texts. And last but not least, principles governing the Turing Universal Machine are the basis. We have celebrated the centenary of Turing in 2012, and I think that he is one of the most important personalities in that century, are the basis for automatic treatment of information. We are confronted by a radical changement of language with the formalization, therefore a different environment for the analysis of data. The technical problems that I shall treat also later are coincident with methodology or theory. Just a few words to submit the objects of the treatment in our case. And in this contribution, I shall limit to textual objects that are, of course, manuscripts of different periods, printed books, not simply the... And so they are something like this, just... Okay. There are many other kinds of material, of course, but provisorily it may be sufficient to treat seriously these ones. At first glance, it is clear that the preservation of information kept in those objects has problems of its own. Therefore, focusing now the attention on text and information, we know, even not from a computerized point of view, that the text is a vehicle of information, and so we have learned from, for instance, the text linguistic of Dressler, that the text is something different from a simply sequence of alphabetical letters. Content, layout, script, graphematic idiosyncrasies are very important to be taken into consideration. In any case, whatever the methodological approach to such problem, the original object contains more information than alphabetical sequence. We do not want to lose any information contained in the texts. It is important that we know who took care of the encoding process, how exactly it was done, and according to which principles it was done. So, coming to the more technical but always methodological aspects, it is important to keep the attention on the fact that what really is produced by the digitization is something that, what is that? That may be represented roughly according to this representation, a sequence of something absolute. And even this is more clear than what is really inside the computer. The scholar is never in direct contact with his data. Whatever is digitized requires some intermediary software, but the software is made by men, to be perceived. So we want some desirable qualities of data that may be in the order of the standard, the open, manageable, and so on. Second, representation of graphemes or glyphs or alpha beams, the single things that we see on a manuscript or an ancient book is something that is not easy to define, really. That representation cannot be standardized a priori for historical texts. Otherwise, the scholarly analysis would be checked from the beginning, in a sense not permitted. This is why we must be very careful in choosing the existing standards for text composition, and I mean something that has already been mentioned in the previous papers, but it is the ASCII standard, the SGML standard, the Text Encoding Initiative standard, XML, and so on. It is often overlooked that some of these standards are really formal standards. That is, they don't engage the scholar in the description of the object of his investigation. Other, like TEI, for instance, are content standards. And so, in a sense, accepting them, one accepts the idea of something that he must really study. So it is important to have an exact idea of what is that all about. And also, for instance, there is discussion on the hierarchical vision of the essence of texts by McGann, Bernard, and Buzzetti in Italy. And also, there is an opposition between possible standard like TEC or Tirofo, the Unix system, versus the WYSIWYG so-called system, that is what you obtain with Word or other such tools. This is only to speak of some of the problems that should be dealt with when one wants to constitute repositories of good texts, of good objects. At last, I shall tackle what I call organization of research, but rather, just as an understatement, rather it should be how the academic institutional organization, academies and university, may help. Of course, the organization of a serious investigation in the problems that we have seen depends on what I call the taxonomy of disciplines. That is the role that digital humanities plays within the academy. That is not the same that the role that digital humanities may play in institutional organizations of other kind, like European community and so on, and what depends. This is different. It is not yet sufficiently studied whether digital humanities is really an independent discipline and what it is. And also, if it is necessary as a discipline or even useful. I think that these are problems that should be studied and decided once for all in the organization of the academy. And so also, It should be the academic teaching should be fostered for many reasons. I have written there training of digital humanities specialists, because often such specialists are simply self-made. There is no certificating their competence really at the origin. So somebody may be really good, other not, but there is not. For if you reflect for the physicians of the engineer, this is different. Of course, an universitary certificate does not guarantee, but is the best that our societies have done. And so, because we need digital humanities specialists, I think that we need a section in the university that produces them. Also, we need a serious environment in which problems may be discussed and documentation assembled and valued. It is difficult. If we want to know how many of these projects to assemble here and there, the texts or other thing also from the humanities side, exist, and according to which principles they work, it is almost impossible, just because there is no academic environment which constitute the reciprocal knowledge of such institutions. Also, such a discipline would train the digital humanities specialists really on both sides and reciprocally in those sides, the computer science and the humanities. And this is the only way to have good results in digital humanities. Many things are now moving, I think, especially in the United Kingdom. For instance, the King's College is a good center for such studies. In Canada, in the United States, with the Modern Language Association, for instance, in Paris and in France, there are many such. And there is also something going on in Germany. But the impression is that there is no really mutual knowledge of the entire things, of the many things that are moving now. So the academies might well encourage universities to institute appropriate teaching in this field, so that they can have both positions and departments.